This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amaasri, and let's get into it.
Hi everyone, welcome back. Today I'm trying something different, and I'll be letting my guest take over, for the lead today. And if you guys have been here before, I'm sure you'll recognize my close friend Kyla. You want to say hi?
Hi guys.
All right, take it away.
Imagine you and two other girls are stranded on an island and you are all complaining and scared and you don't know what to do. So you just climb up for the hope of getting a signal, but there's no luck. You stumble upon a moon pool that is in the cove of a volcano and it looks beautiful. With no way out by walking, you agree to swim out into the open water in hope of finding a boat. Just as you are all emerging into the water, the full moon is over the volcano and the water around you bubbles and magic happens. Hi guys, so this is Kyla, and if you haven't already guessed, we're going to be talking about H2O, the classic and very Australian TV show that was and still is my childhood. Major spoiler warnings for this, so you have been warned. Have you heard of the show?
Yeah, actually, I kind of watched it. A little bit here and there as a kid, but I don't really know much other than the fact that there's three mermaid girls with powers and boy problems, I think. I don't really know.
Yeah, that kind of sums it up. So it's a show about three girls who turn into mermaids. Whenever they become in contact with water, they grow tails. There are rules that they have as mermaids, and they try and fail to keep, the most important being that they cannot tell anyone. There are three main girls, Cleo, Emma, and Ricky. They have pretty decent characterization for a kids show and are very enjoyable to watch. You can sum them up pretty easily. Ricky is the headstrong one that always has an insult up her sleeve. Her power is heat, and then later gains the power of lightning. Emma is the responsible one that must and always be right. And to her credit, she usually is, except when she's wrong.
We always need an Emma in our life.
Oh, yeah. Her power is freezing and makes ice and all that. Then there's Cleo. Cleo is like the sweet, naive one, is pretty much meant to be the likable, soft character. Her power is the manipulation of water. Those are the three main girls in the first two seasons. Today, I'm not going to be talking about season three. There was a new girl that was added to the cast in season three as a replacement after Emma leaves the show, and her name's Bella. Bella is like the down-to-earth kind of person. Her main thing for her is that she's a crush on a guy called Will, and she seems pretty cool and chill. Her power was jelly.
Jelly? Wow, so creative. The girl who makes ice isn't there anymore, so the next best thing? Jelly. I mean, like, not to be mean, but that sounds really, really lame. Jelly?
Come yeah, on. I know. It sounds really dumb when you actually say it out loud, but to her defense, she could somehow make ice as well as jelly. It didn't make any sense.
Wow, great writing, guys. Yeah. I honestly, hire me. I'm great. Yeah. I would make a much better storyline than that.
Okay, so from their descriptions, who do you think you'd like the most?
Okay, so I kind of like see myself as being Emma, because her personality is being the mature one and always kind of like responsible, kind of like it fits with me. But yeah. I also kind of like Ricky, the type of person who stands up for herself, says what she wants and stuff, and her power is like quite cool.
Yeah,
Cleo's power is cool too, actually. Yeah, I'll take Cleo's power if I could.
Yeah, I totally agree. Cleo definitely has the best power. But Ricky has the most convenient power, since she can, like, dry off her tail and become normal a lot faster than the other girls can.
Wait, can't Cleo just, like, move the water off her tail? Because, she moves water.
Well, you'd think so, but clearly the writers don't have the same logic as we do.
Fair enough. I mean, like I said, I would be so much better for the position. But who's your favorite?
Okay, Ricky has always been my favorite. I love a character that speaks their mind, that always are my favorite. I was quite a pushover when I was younger, and so I always loved seeing characters that were blunt, quite unlike me.
Yeah, fair enough. We tend to enjoy the things that we don't have in real life, I heard somewhere. And like characters like those are always the most interesting ones because like conflicts always arise and it's just hilarious when it happens.
They're the most helpful when it comes to plot.
Fair enough. They're the only ones that aren't dumb and move it along.
Yeah. They're like not the ones that are just passive. They're actually active in
the
story.
Yeah, it's like that one girl who goes, "You're not marrying him. You've known him for like a day."
Yeah. Love those ones.
Yeah, they're like realistic.
Yeah. Awesome. So now that we're introduced to the main girls, we can talk about the side characters. There is Lewis, who is a saint, and he's super cute and like the sciencey kind of guy.
It gives me childhood guy best friend vibes, you know?
Yeah, he totally does, but he like owns it at the same time. So like he pretty much just exudes that, and then he just like uses it to advantage of being like the nice guy who's actually nice.
Yeah, for reals. Yeah. We lack those.
Yeah, we do.
It's good to see that.
It's good to see he's not fake.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we have met Lewis, there is Zane, who starts off as a jerk but turns into a surprisingly good boyfriend to Ricky until season 3, which I don't even want to get into because it makes me sad about how the writers just messed him up. It's disappointing.
Ugh, I hate it when like they change characters to like jerks just for the sake of moving the plot along. Yes. And I'm like, that's not even good. That is just a cheap way out. Yeah. Like I said, that's not good writing.
It's not.
You can continue on with plot and have the character keep being a good guy instead of turning them into a jerk, basically. Like I'm going to say this multiple times throughout this episode. Hire me. I'm available. I'll do it for free even. I mean, like, we do that for fan fiction anyway, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
You should write one.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it still makes me sad because they were my favorite couple and they had, like, the beautiful haters to lovers relationship and 11-year-old me was living for it.
Yeah, I mean, like, English, especially, like, poetry, has taught me that there's, like, a fine line between hate and love. Sometimes the line is practically non-existent, and the tension, the chemistry, my God, it's so rich.
It's so stronger.
It's like, so good, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't actually learn it from English as much. I learned it from Wattpad books.
Wattpad? God. I kind of upgraded, though. Like, Wattpad was back when I was 12. I guess I was underage, but now I've kind of upgraded to AO3, you know, the OG. But for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, Wattpad, AO3, what? Well, don't search it up. If you don't know what it means, then it's probably not your cup of tea. It's a very Gen Z thing. So Gen Z, if you're listening, any one of you, I'm sure you're laughing your butts off right now.
Yes, and if you ignore our advice to leave it, please don't judge us for what you find.
Exactly. You didn't hear it from us. Wattpad
no.
Who?
No. There's no Wattpad. What? No. Okay, but back to the main plot with the girls. A lot of the time, it is based off the fact that they can't tell anyone their secret. And to their credit, they usually don't tell anyone willingly, but are mostly found out as mermaids by the people close to them. The first being Lewis in the second episode, where Cleo decides going to a pool party while she's a mermaid is just like the smartest idea ever.
Wow, brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I love her. She's so dumb sometimes. She, of course, gets thrown into the water and turns into a mermaid in front of Lewis. But don't worry. Everyone else who is at the party coincidentally decided to go inside right after Zane threw her in the water. And Emma locked them inside with her ice powers.
Okay, can I just say how convenient that is? Like, I'm sorry, but that is just such a dumb plot point. God, the coincidence that everyone just so happened to go inside at that one moment. I gotta applaud the writers. I mean, like, I wouldn't have thought of that. I would have thought of something better. God. But, like, at this point, how long have they been mermaids?
I'd say maybe like a week. They're all trying to get used to the change. I think for Cleo, it was the hardest for her because she enjoyed being pop. Like, she wanted to be well liked by people. So her not
a
going to
pleaser.
She's a people pleaser.
Okay, so they're in high school. How old are they at the moment?
They finished high school in season 3. So season 1, they would have been year 11 if we're going by New Zealand standards. I'm not sure if Australia go to level. Like year 12 or 13.
Okay, so year 11. Okay, can I just say, even
12-year-old me would not go to a pool party after I found out I was a mermaid, okay? I don't need people, okay? I can talk to the dolphins, okay? Being a mermaid is so much cooler than having a pool party with some brat kids.
Yeah.
Well, they're my age, but teenagers. Oh, teenagers suck.
All brats.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm just hating on myself here, guys.
Yeah, and that's allowed because it's self-hate.
I don't think that's good either.
It's not good, but at least it's not like other people.
Yeah, fair.
Yes, but like she really annoyed me in that episode because why go to a pool when you could go to like coral reefs and stuff
fair
in Australia?
Enough.
Like, oh, I don't understand her sometimes.
I want to try and talk to animals and try and not get eaten.
Yes, that'd be quite difficult, actually.
It'd be amazing. I'd chase dolphins down. Be my friend.
They actually filmed with dolphins in the show,
and really? They
were really worried that the dolphins wouldn't be able to, like, be okay with them.
Mm.
But, like, when they swam with the dolphins literally thought they were just another species of dolphin, and they were completely fine with each other, and it was so cute to watch them swim together.
That sounds so sweet.
Yeah. And, like, the girls who played, they were all still in high school when they played the role.
Really?
Yeah. And so they had to do so much training and all of that. I watched a lot of behind-the-scenes things when I was obsessed with it.
I can't imagine acting and doing all that training alongside of doing NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, school sucks.
Yeah. But, like, they're actors. They were set. And, like, how cool is it to, like, train to be able to become a mermaid, something you always wanted to be when you were younger.
Yeah. And get paid.
Yeah, and get paid. That's the dream.
It really is.
Yes. Well, the second person to see them as mermaids is Zane. Now, this is, like, one of the main plots of season one, and it's actually quite good. So Zane was close to drowning on a boat, and Emma swims to the boat he's stuck on and opens the doors so that he can swim to the surface. But Zane sees the end of her tail. This leads Zane to be totally obsessed with whatever saved him, and the girls become very cautious of him. At the same time, Zane and Ricky find themselves enjoying each other's company, and after always fighting, they suddenly end up liking each other.
Ooh.
They become a really cute couple, and even though he's, like, hunting them,
even though he's hunting them.
Like, that doesn't matter.
He's only trying to kill me.
He doesn't want to kill. He just wants to get everyone to know that they're real.
Basically.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Either way, they're probably going to die from that. So she makes him drop this quest for a short time with an ultimatum.
Love.
Yeah.
The power of love. Really, really good. Oh, God. Okay. But, like, what were Cleo's and Emma's reaction to this whole shebang?
Oh, okay. They were not happy at all. They gave her an ultimatum and told her it's either Zane or them. Let's just say Ricky was not the type of person who would take that line down, and she did not appreciate them doing that.
I mean, like, yeah, fair enough. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's, like, genuinely not their place to make her choose between them, you know, her really close friends, and someone else that she's romantically interested in.
Yeah.
Yes, you're my friend. Yes, you should look out for me. But there is a fine line that you must not cross, okay? That is just... No, I'm sorry. That it was a jerk move from them. It's different if they're trying to protect her and he's, like, really toxic and definitely a really bad guy. But from what you're telling me, he's got, like, a redemption arc or whatever.
Yeah.
Not happy, Emma and Cleo. How dare you?
Yeah, I agree, but I can see where they're coming from since they only knew Zane to be a jerk. They didn't know that he had kind of changed a bit for Ricky.
Okay.
And Ricky did used to hate him quite a lot, plus the fact that he was currently looking for the mermaid that saved him made the girls quite worried to have him close to her. To their credit, though, the girls ended up warming up to Zane after he defended Ricky in front of his dad.
Okay. All right, yeah. Okay, fine. I take it back. Well, not really. I still stand by my point.
Yeah.
But that's a bit more reasonable now that I see it from their point of view.
Yeah.
It is their livelihoods, on the threat here. But still.
I'd be constantly paranoid.
Yeah, I'd be paranoid too. But still, that ultimatum peeves me off a little.
Mm. Same. So that's one of the main plots. And another main plot of season one is the last two episodes, the season finale, when a marine biologist comes into town and finds a fish scale from one of their tails. She plants underwater cameras to try and find it. And guess who was funding her of all people? It was Zane's father.
Of course. I mean, like, I guess that makes sense as to why he's such a jerk of a character. I mean, like, if his father's all rich and that, I guess he's just like a spoiled brat kid who's like, oh, my dad's this rich guy. What does Draco Malfoy say? Wait till my father hears about this.
Oh, Draco, you sweet little guy.
Sweet? I'd use a different term.
He's just a daddy's boy. All right. Yes, and guess who was on the boat when they got a photo of three tails swimming in the water?
Oh, God, please do not tell me Zane was there.
I'm sorry, I can't tell you that. Zane saw the photo.
Wow.
Yeah, which, like, completely confirmed what he'd been telling people this whole time. So many people called him crazy for this, and now he had proof. Imagine how happy he'd be to want to tell everyone. And remember, he had no idea that the girls are the mermaids, so he ran to tell Ricky about the photo.
Okay, wow. I can just see the oncoming crisis now.
Jeez.
So, like, what did the girls do?
Okay, so since the photo clearly didn't show that it was Ricky, they figured they're safe, but they just agreed they should not go swimming in case they get another photo with their faces. But unfortunately, there was another photo that came in after Zane left the boat.
Oh no.
That the marine biologist and Zane's father saw that clearly shows all three of their faces when they were swimming.
Wow, that's not good, especially when it's a rich guy who clearly exploit them for money, obviously. What do the girls do now that their whole life is in danger now, practically?
Lewis tries to confront the marine biologist because he used to know her through science-y stuff. Yeah, he knew her through science connections. And so he talks to her and tries to take her off the scent, saying this is completely fake, this is photoshopped. And then she ends up locking him on her boat, and then she calls the girls from Lewis's phone saying that he's in trouble, and they all go to the moon pool because that's where they always met. And then they full-on trap them in the moon pool with a steel gate at the bottom of the entrance and confront all three girls. So Lewis is kidnapped and held captive so that the girls can't even harm the people, because otherwise they'd harm Lewis.
Oh, my God. So this is definitely evil to the next level. First of all, you're kidnapping a minor, and then you kidnap three other minors who are not exactly human. You sound crazy, whoever you are, a marine biologist person. Yes. Was Zane there? Did he have any idea anything was going on?
Yes, that's the best part. He enters the room and sees all three of them as mermaids, just chilling in the moon pool, looking pretty pissed.
Well, sure enough.
Yeah, and oh, the drama. Okay, so Ricky is absolutely fuming that he was involved, and Zane is super apologetic and wants to try and fix things as hard as he could.
He's too late, boy.
It's too late, guy. So Zane ends up leaving to go rescue Lewis and recruits him to help get the girls free. He gets Lewis to go in his boat and unhook the gate under the water while Zane tells the girls what's happening. The girls get to escape, and Zane confronts his father about everything, so he gets major character development. And because Zane confronted his father pulled out of the research program, so the marine biologist no longer had the funds of the rich guy.
Oh, that's so good of Zane. Obviously, Zane is the major guy for rescuing them.
Yeah.
That's really good for him. I mean, like, I'm proud of him. That's good major character development. I mean, like, can I just say, like, the reason why I hate the marine biologist and the dad so much is because it's too real. Like, that is exactly how humans would act, like, in real life. Mermaids or whatever creature out there would existed, you know, because they would, you know, take them out of their habitat, research, experiment, even if it's not known legally. It will still happen under the table.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, who knows what will happen. They'll get extinct. I mean, like, we're already ruining the planet enough as it is. We've got animals extinct and stuff. Yeah, we suck.
We suck most of the time.
That's why I hate these villains. Because they're us.
Yeah.
It's like 100% people that exist are like that, which just makes it even worse.
I think it's better, obviously, because this is a kids' show.
Yeah.
They get away and, you know, live life for another day. Yeah. But if it was real life, the villains aren't dumb. They have power. They are respected. And it's not as easy as, like, oh, we must do good to save the day. It's, there's, like, legal things and there are loopholes in the system and it sucks.
Yeah.
So if mermaids exist or any other creature out there exists that are deemed mythical, I hope they are never found.
Yeah, stay hidden, guys.
Yeah.
So, where were we?
Okay. So how did the girls get rid of her, like, what's her name? The marine biologist, now that she knows the secret. I don't think she gave up.
Oh, very good point. So since the marine biologist still knows they are mermaids, the girls come to the conclusion that they need to stop being mermaids so that people will stop looking for them. Ricky did suggest that they just, you know, fight her and, like,
fair enough, Ricky, do it.
Yeah. But the other ones decided maybe it's just best we just give up our powers.
Is it even possible for them to give up their powers?
Well, coincidentally.
Coincidentally.
There is a lunar eclipse this full moon.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That coincidence, though.
Yes.
Writers, come on. Be better.
There is an older mermaid lady who tells them what to look out for all across this whole first season. And she tells them that if they are in the moon pool on a lunar eclipse, they will lose their powers.
Fancy.
Yes. They end up doing that and they give up their powers, with the marine biologist watching and trying to convince them not to do it. Everything gets resolved. Zane and Ricky unfortunately end up breaking up just because of all this, and everyone goes back to normal.
But I'm sure that's not the case if there are another two seasons.
Right. The girls are still mermaids, and they only lose their powers for 12 hours, not permanently. The old lady thought it would be funny not to tell them.
Okay, can I just say that's so dumb? I mean, like, and so risky. What if the, like, the girls were, like, in front of people when they decided to go into the water, thinking they're still human?
Yeah, it's so dumb for her to do and super risky for all the girls.
Yeah, it's like, clearly she has no fun in life. This is, like, some April Fool's prank. Like, some, like, really effed up way, though.
Zane was also in on the... Oh, no, not Zane. Lewis was also in on the joke.
Lewis, no!
Yeah.
Not he, Golden Retriever boy.
Golden Retriever. He betrayed them. No, he was the one that ended up telling them that she lied and that he was the only one that got told the truth, that they only lost it for 12 hours. And so... For drama's sake, it makes sense, but, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that's the summary for season one, and let's have a small break with the song Under the Sea. Enjoy the cheesy reference.
Ariel, listen to me. The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day. Out in the sun, they slave away. While we're devoting full time to floating under the sea. Down here on the fish is happy, as off through the waves they roll. The fish on the land ain't happy, it's hard 'cause they in the bowl. But fish in the bowl is lucky, they in for a worse of fate. One day when the boss get hungry, yes, you go beyond the pay. But oh, under the sea, under the sea. Nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee. We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea, we after hook up. We got no troubles, life is the bubbles. Under the sea,
under the sea,
under the sea.
Under the sea. Since life is sweet here, we got to be here naturally. Even the sturgeon and the ray, the earth start to play. We got the spirit, you got to hear it under the sea. Play the flute, the cop, play the hop, the place, play the bass and the sound, the chop, the bass, play the brass, the chop, play the tub. The flute is the duke of soul. The way he can play the names on the strings, the chop, rocking out the blackfish, he sings the spelt and the sprat. They know where it's at, they know that blowfish blow.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Let's get right into season two. Now, season two is my favorite season, but it also has the worst character in it.
Oh no, what is it with these writers and bad characters?
No, they definitely intentionally made her very, very unlikable. Her name is Charlotte, and she's not too bad at the start when we first meet her. But she just gets worse and worse as the episodes continue, and she just has that vibe at the start. You know she's going to do something.
Oh no, please don't tell me she's a green tea female dog.
She's in fact a female dog.
Okay, and for those of you who don't know that reference, so basically I think it's a Chinese saying, like a green tea female dog, where it's a girl, or I don't know, a guy, usually it's referencing girls, where they are nice in front of others, but truly they're like a hypocrite, and they're like really mean and I guess evil on the inside.
Yes.
Is she that?
She's that.
Oh no.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm not hating on green tea lovers, guys. I love tea.
Yeah, me too. I'm a tea person. No hate to coffee though. Okay, so I didn't mention it before in my season one summary, but Cleo and Lewis actually started dating near the end of season one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Romance.
Romance.
But they break up on the second episode of season two.
Oh no, that's just lame.
Yeah. So they had like 5 episodes of dating. They were quite good together, but they just didn't have that much time dating, so we didn't see a lot of it. Cleo breaks up with Lewis because she felt like she needed to be alone for a bit and focus on like trying to control her new powers, and you know, her parents just got divorced, so she's going through a lot.
Okay, yeah, now that's fair enough. Yeah. I think when it comes to relationships, I think it's healthy to have like a break every once in a while. Like, yeah. Not break up and like, you know, in the relationship. What I mean by taking a break, what I mean is like, you know, stop contacting each other for a while and like kind of focus in on yourself. And as you said, Cleo was going through a lot of stuff at that moment, and she just needed that space.
And it's like really healthy and like the mature thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, I think part of the reasons why a lot of long-term relationships end is because when you are in a long-term relationship, it just goes on for so long every day. It's just become routine to the point that you kind of like take it for granted.
Yeah.
So when you take a break, like take a deep breath and like kind of focus in on yourself for a bit, no matter how long, and then you guys see each other again, it's like the relationship is back to being fresh. You guys actually want to be in each other's presence and things like that.
Yeah.
So like I said, that is really important. Focus on yourself, communication, and things like that.
So communication's key.
Yeah, communication is key. So Cleo, I don't really mind her doing that unless she went about it the wrong way. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair. Ricky like suggested it as a joke at the start of the episode when Cleo was complaining about how smothering Lewis had become.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ricky was like, here's an idea. How about you dump him? And like Emma and Cleo was just like, Ricky. And then Cleo ends up doing it at the end of the episode. And then Ricky was like, I was just kidding.
I Of course. She would. But yeah, so they broke up though, yes. which I don't think was a good idea. If they still like each other,
yeah,
it would just create a lot of drama later on.
A lot of tension between each other still.
So taking a break would have been a better idea than breaking up.
Yeah, but I guess keep in mind this was made quite a while ago.
Plus it's for drama.
It's for drama sake.
But for those who are listening, do not follow this. TV shows are not a good reference to follow for relationships.
No. I've not based anything off knowledge from this. I get my knowledge from knowing what not to do.
Yes, fair enough. Do that.
So Lewis starts hanging out with Charlotte after Cleo and him break up because Charlotte's quite sciencey and smart like Lewis. They become quite close friends, but Charlotte was just low-key obsessed with Lewis. She's like an artisty type. She would always draw sketches of him, and it was just kind of like even when he didn't tell her to, she just followed him and took sketches. And like she kind of forced a relationship on him when he didn't seem super into her. Like he likes her, but nowhere near as much as she likes him.
Wait, does she know that he just broke up with Cleo?
Yeah.
At this point? Okay. Can I just say, I mean, like, I'm guessing the reason why Charlotte did that was probably because she knows his character and she knows Lewis isn't the type of guy who would just blatantly say, sorry, I'm not romantically interested in you and I'd still like to be friends. He seems like the type of guy who would just give hints or obvious hints or whatever, but wouldn't blatantly say that. Am I right?
Oh, you're 100% right.
Yeah. So if she knows that, she knows that if she just pushes enough, one day he will eventually say yes.
Yes.
And that isn't right. That isn't a good thing to do. It's basically like put it on the context of like if she doesn't say yes immediately, like what's it like coercing?
Oh, yeah. Like don't try to convince someone.
Yeah, because that's not consent.
That's not consent.
Yeah.
That she's just trying to like force it.
Yeah, that's not cool, Charlotte. That's not cool. Red flag number one.
Yes. Something that made me see the signs of Charlotte being super mean at first was when she would throw the fact that she was dating Lewis into Cleo's face, like, all the time.
She would.
Yeah. Like, when Lewis lent his coat to Charlotte on a date, Charlotte found Cleo and asked Cleo if she could give Lewis his shirt back.
Okay, can I just say that is so disrespectful, especially if you know they just broke up and that's an ex-girlfriend.
That's like a primary school insult kind of thing.
Yeah, like come on, you're in high school, okay? You're like my age, maybe a year younger. You're my age and we know, like, that's like intermediate stuff, my guy. Like, we're about to become adults. That's not how we deal with things.
Yeah. And like, Lewis felt so uncomfortable about the whole situation. He was just like, Charlotte, next time I give you my coat, don't go through Cleo to do it. And then, like, Cleo, Lewis just felt the need to explain everything to Cleo, saying, hey, I didn't, like, offer her the jacket. She asked me for my jacket, so I, like, felt like he felt the need to explain everything when Cleo was just like, Lewis, it's not a big deal. You don't need to explain anything.
And in her mind, she's like, it's a big deal.
In her mind, she's just like, I hate her.
But can I just say, I mean, like, obviously Lewis, if he wanted to explain, he could.
Yeah.
But because they are technically broken up, even if they do have feelings for each other, he didn't have to explain himself.
No.
I just feel like if Cleo did expect an explanation, she didn't have a right to.
No.
Because they weren't in a relationship. It'd be different if they were on a temporary break because they're still seeing each other.
That would be quite bad. That's like, unless you have, like, agreed if you're on a break that you can date other people.
Yeah, that's different.
That's different.
So it's obviously different for different relationships, but right now you guys are broken up.
Yeah.
So if she, because, like, I haven't seen this, you've said, but if she did expect an explanation, she shouldn't have.
No. Like, everyone was just kind of like, why, what was the purpose of her doing that? That's kind of just mean.
Mm.
I wanted to say something else, but I won't.
Kind of like a donkey move.
Yeah. But it doesn't even end there. Like, when Cleo failed her exam, Lewis, being the nice guy he is, offered to help her study, but Charlotte went out of her way, even contacted Cleo's teacher to make sure that she would become her tutor so that Lewis and Cleo wouldn't even have a chance to hang out, even if it's just studying.
God.
Keep in mind that this happened before Lewis and Charlotte were dating.
Really? God, I was under the premise that they were already dating.
No, this is the episode where they start to date.
Wow, she's... Yeah, red flags all around.
Yeah, just like a small little red flag. So, like, in that episode, Lewis and Charlotte actually start to date, and she is
super jealous anytime Cleo and Lewis are with each other.
Well, I don't like that.
Yeah. Like, on some level, I get it because they used to date, but I mean, she was like really manipulative about it and like just went about it all the way wrong.
I mean, like, okay. So the main plot of this is a love triangle.
I know you hate that, but
yeah. You can hear the skepticism in my voice. A love triangle, really? That's what you brought for me today.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, okay. Because Lewis and Cleo obviously broke up on good terms.
Yeah.
So it's okay. If I were Charlotte and I wasn't a dog, if I wasn't a bad person, I would kind of understand if my current boyfriend would be hanging out with his ex and they broke off on good terms and they're still friends.
Yeah.
And
they hang
out,
worried.
They'd hang out a lot, but like with friends, other friends, I'd be fine with it. But if they do hang out a lot, but they're alone, I would be worried. Even like a healthy amount of worried though. Yeah. Well, actually no, I wouldn't know. I'm not in a relationship. But but if I do feel like genuinely worried and I need to talk to him, like I said earlier, communication.
Yes.
Like talk to him and say why you're worried and just tell him your concerns and things. And if he truly cares about you, he will do something about it and he'll give you reassurances.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, that's a sign, break up.
Yeah.
That's a sign, break up.
Red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah. But like yes and no, like the season is kind of a love triangle, but it's more for the first part of the season, but the last half is more focused on how Charlotte is getting really close to finding out the secret.
And oh no.
Man, does it get bad, but like in a good way. So like you remember how there was that old mermaid that gave them advice?
Yes.
Yeah, so she had a group of three friends that were practically the exact same characters as Emma, Cleo, and Ricky.
Wow, the writers strike again with great plot.
Yeah, so the old girl is like the old version of Emma.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it turns out that Charlotte is the granddaughter of one of them who's like the old version of Cleo, which is really weird, but we won't get into that.
Yes. We'll just step over that.
Yeah. And we find out that Charlotte's grandmother actually hated being a mermaid and gave up her powers. Remember that because it comes back later and it's quite important.
Okay.
So Charlotte finds this guy who was like the lowest of the group to the older three girls, and it turns out that he used to be super in love with Charlotte's grandmother, who is like the older version of Cleo. So basically saying no matter what happens, it's Cleo and Lewis.
Soulmates.
Yes. And because the guy loved Charlotte's grandmother, he tells Charlotte about mermaids so Charlotte would know the secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The plot thickens.
So Charlotte goes to the moon pool under full moon knowing that she'd get powers, and what sucks is that she gets OP and gets everyone's power, all three of them.
What?
Yeah.
All three of them. So, okay, you're telling me Charlotte, this possessive dog-like character, gets the ability to heat up water, freeze water, and move water?
Yep.
Oh my god. That's just, I don't know how to feel about this. How do the girls feel about this?
Oh, okay. Well, Ricky was not having it.
Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so Cleo and Emma, like Emma and Lewis were all for letting her in the group. Cleo was the deciding vote, and Lewis convinced her to let her come in. Ricky really didn't want to, but since everyone else had decided, she would respect the vote. But she knows for a fact she's just not going to go out of her way to be nice to Charlotte.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, like, I can respect that.
Another reason why she's my favorite. So anyways, Ricky stays with the group at first when Charlotte joins. But in one of my favorite episodes called Lewis's Birthday, Charlotte plans a surprise party for Lewis and invites the girls over to help her plan. When Charlotte tells the girls that what she has planned, Ricky tells Charlotte that everything she has planned isn't stuff that Lewis likes. He's a golden retriever. But she decides to make it a formal party with like jazz music and sophisticated food that no one knows how to eat. It's like a conference meeting.
Oh god, that doesn't even sound very fun.
No.
I mean, like, because, yeah, I mean, like, wait, he invites people that he doesn't know, you said.
Yeah. Like, so he, like, Charlotte plans the whole entire party and, like, invites no one that Lewis knows apart from the main girls.
God, that's just lame. Come on.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's becoming less of a Lewis thing and more of a Charlotte thing at this point.
Yeah, she's, like, so narcissistic. So what happens is that Ricky just full-on leaves, and Emma and Cleo try to get her back. And Ricky said that she just can't waste her time hanging out with people she doesn't like. So if they were going to stay with Charlotte, then she's just not going to join them.
I mean, like, fair enough. Like, stand your ground, girl.
Yeah. So she just, like, left them, went to go hang out with Zane. She's got a good boyfriend.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. So Emma and Cleo stay with Charlotte and help her with the party. But it was just so awkward because, like, they were the only people invited that Lewis knew. And, like, he was just walking around so uncomfortable.
Fair enough. I would do the same. I'd just stick to those three girls if I was him.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, but at the party, Charlotte just, like, tops every single thing she did with something even more terrible and, like, so dumb.
Oh, no. What did she do this time?
Okay. So she, like, sends Emma and Cleo into the pool shed and asks them to get some more chairs. Then she, like, locks them in the room, makes a crack in the pipe above in the ceiling that spills water onto both of them, and that continues to drip on them for, like, a good few hours. So they're essentially beached whales, and they cannot get dry, locked in a room, waiting to be found by who knows.
Oh my god, that's like torture, basically. That's like inhumane.
Yeah.
Charlotte, you're a psychopath. How dare you? That's so mean. That's not even...
She didn't even look sorry, like, ever. She was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
ugh, she's so in denial.
Yes. It was so upsetting. I did not enjoy it.
So would Lewis notice they were gone in the first place?
Yes. Like, he asked Charlotte if she had seen them, and, like, she told them that, like, they left an hour ago. He thought that they left in the middle of his birthday party.
Oh, I would feel so bad.
Yeah.
Plus, Charlotte, you're so mean.
Like, they were the only people he knew. Now it's literally just Charlotte, the one person he knows at the party.
It feels like she's trying to isolate him.
Yeah.
And get him all for herself.
Honestly, this has got to be some kind of psychological abuse or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, some kind of emotional manipulation. Yes,
that's what I was thinking. I think abuse is a bit. But yeah, you got what I mean.
Yeah.
So while this is happening, Ricky is hanging out with Zane, being, you know, great boyfriend, girlfriend, being cute. But then, like, okay, so Emma and Cleo, like, full on, like, cut block them a few times. And, like, yeah. And, like, interrupt them while they're about to kiss. Like, come on, guys, let them be. But anyways, he's being the great boyfriend he is, convinces her that she would regret missing Lewis's birthday, and suggests that they go to the party together. And when they do, they find the girls in their very compromising position, and she saves the day, dries them off using her power, and the girls say, oh my gosh, Ricky, you're totally right. She's a female dog.
Lifesaver.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, can I just say how far Zane has come?
I know.
Like, it's from the beginning where he scorns, like, ever hanging out with a loser like Lewis. Well, quote-unquote loser. And then going, like, to his girlfriend saying, oh, you'd miss out, you know, yeah. And you'd regret missing out on your close friend's birthday party. And yeah. I'm like, can I just say, like, that's a really cool and mature thing to do. I mean, like, a lot of guys and girls, like, today still struggle with that. Like, you can, like, not like someone, but still have, like, that respect
and
for them being your significant other's friend.
Exactly. You
know? So, good on Zane.
Yeah. And, like, Zane had a lot of good moments in season two. Like, so many times the girls were rude to him and, like, kind of passed him over. Ricky was just like, that wasn't his fault. I literally told him to do that. And he suggested that we don't do it. She was like, she defended him. And I was like, yes, Ricky, defend your man.
And also, she's taking responsibility as well.
Yeah.
That's really good in a person.
Because
a lot of people, like myself including, is like, I kind of struggle with taking responsibility with the things that I do wrong.
Yeah.
Because no one likes to be wrong.
Yeah, no one likes to admit it when they made a mistake.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really refreshing when people actually do. And like, they apologize. And it's, I love that.
Yeah.
Yes. But that was, like, the final straw for Emma and Cleo. They were pissed.
Fair enough.
Yes. And so they, like, tell her in, like, one of the best confrontational moments. They, like, turn to Charlotte and say, you're on your own for now. And then they power walk out of her house, go onto a party boat,
that Lewis wanted for his birthday the whole time, and Lewis joins them. It's amazing.
That sounds amazing. I mean, like, sometimes not the fanciest things are better because yeah. it's what the person wants and things like that. And they finally gain a backbone yeah. and stand up to this girl. Okay, look, I think it's a good reason why I don't have powers or am a mermaid because I have no self-control. Oh, I know no. if I have the ability of, like that these girls have, I will immediately become a villain. Okay, maybe not immediately, but eventually. I'll slowly become a villain and like I have no patience. I will kill Charlotte. Genuinely. I will.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
Yeah, so, like, Charlotte, like, tells Lewis that the girls are, like, being mean to her, and, you know, like, they ditched her, and, like, Lewis is just like, they wouldn't do that, Charlotte. And so, Lewis is, like, trying to be the middleman and, yeah. like, you know, settle
trying
things.
He wants this friend group to stay together.
Yeah, he's just like, what happened? I don't understand. Because the girls didn't tell him about what she did to on his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So he doesn't know. He just knows that the girl said that she's been mean. So Lewis asks the girls about it, and Cleo, like, even considers letting Charlotte back into the group. But Emma and Ricky
come in like the good friends they are.
They keep the backbone of the group yeah. and say no.
Come on, Cleo. Well, she's working on it, though.
Yeah. Cleo, she's working on it. Yeah, she's a work in progress. Season 3, she gets the backbone. Proud of her there. Charlotte runs into Cleo and, like, full-on pushes her to the ground. And, like, later she runs into all three of them together, lifts them up into the air, and drop them in public where, like, so many people saw it.
God, she's, like, she's, like, a sociopath. I don't know. She's,
yeah.
Yeah, she gives me those types of tendencies.
She does. Like, she was, like, completely unhinged. Like, oh, my goodness. It was, oh, like, and
it's like she's trying to get, it's like that thing where it's like, if you can't have him, none of us can.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So she's like, I don't care if I expose my powers as long as you guys go down too.
Yeah.
It's like, God.
Like she like fully like used her powers to like make someone's boat flip and like in the water and like freaked him out. And oh, so many times she just like is so reckless and oh, yeah. Because of all of this, like, Cleo full-on runs away. And, like, because Lewis is still with Charlotte, and she's just really hurt, and she runs away. She decides going to Mako Island and hiding where, like, you know, all the sharks are is a good idea.
Wow, great. Can I just say, Cleo, you have a family.
They were so worried.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, like, girl, remember, you're 16, 17, I don't know how old you are.
She's
but
young.
You are in high school, okay? Guys come and go.
Yeah.
Okay, but family is forever.
Yeah, like her dad, because like they don't, like the mom's out of the picture now, and the dad's just like super worried, and he was just like called the police, and like he like got Ricky and Emma like to go searching for her, and like he was just like, have you seen Cleo? And she's like, no, I thought she was like, and he was like, oh, do you know if like Cleo's with Ricky? And then he was like, no, sorry, Ricky's with me. And then he was just like, oh no. And like, it was so, I felt so bad for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just hate it in like whatever sort of source of entertainment, like book, movie, TV show, or whatever. I hate it when the characters put like the love interest that they knew for like not even a year, way before like your family. Like, it's different if that family was like evil, neglectful, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's like a loving family and you put this other person in front of them, it's like, come on, man.
That
like,
makes me think of Twilight.
God, okay, do not. I will become unhinged.
Okay.
I am not. Twilight is another discussion. I'm gonna rant the entire
time. Can we do an episode on that later?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yep,
okay, guys, it's confirmed. We've got another one coming about Twilight.
For sure.
Actually, I'm doing a binge watch of that this weekend. No, not this weekend. Next weekend. So I'll be fully
I can't watch recapped. It without laughing.
Neither can I. I'm watching it with the sleepover with all my friends. Okay. We're just going to laugh at it. Yeah, so like,
so what happens then?
So Cleo, well, she's run away. Lewis goes and, you know, saves her from all the sharks.
Golden retriever saves the day.
Love him. He's like the cute little puppy.
He is.
And they don't waste any time. Like, they get back together straight away after he broke up with Charlotte.
Can I just say, like,
That's not a good idea. I don't know. I haven't seen it. But it's different for different couples. But, like, I think you guys still need some space. I mean, like, there were still some issues before Charlotte even came into the picture that you guys haven't resolved yet, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like you guys should still, like, be on a break or at least talk about it instead of just going back into the swing of things because this isn't going to last.
Yeah. It was – I'm not sure if it was the best decision, but the show clearly just wanted them back together for, like, the last few episodes.
Fan service.
Yeah. So, like, after Charlotte gets broken up with, she's pretty pissed.
Fair enough.
And she wants to punish the girls for everything that has happened.
Ugh.
And so she finds out that the next full moon will remove a mermaid's power forever, and they can never get it back.
Can I just say, coincidence? I think not. Come on. And what are the chances?
That was the same full moon that got Charlotte's grandmother's powers removed. It happens every 60 years.
Come on, writers! Oh, wow, Charlotte comes by, you know, with big evil plot scheme and like a freaking full moon that happens once every 60 years comes by. Just so happens to be
all
rolling.
All the planets. The planetary alignments come together.
Oh, come on. That is some bull crap.
The magnitude or something, like, becomes way too strong and, like, I don't know how
some way of
it.
Scientifically explaining it.
Saying, like, all the planets' alignment make the full moon's power extra strong and it removes the mermaid's power forever.
Okay. I'm just going to say, any producers or whatever out there, I'm just, like, putting my contact out now, just saying I can do so much better
at this point, than H2.
Yeah. I'm just promoting myself.
Yeah.
I will write it for free. Contact me.
Yes, what's your contact number? Let everyone know.
Contact me through ORFM.
Yeah, so Charlotte's whole plan is to literally just lure the girls to the full moon because Lewis didn't tell them that it could remove their powers.
Lewis knew.
Yeah, Lewis found out from, like, the older version of Lewis, who he's, like, good friends with, because they're the same person.
Okay.
And so he just lets them know, keep the girls away from Mako tonight. And so, like, he doesn't tell them until too late, pretty much.
Yeah, what a douche. I'm kidding. Like, it's obviously for plot purposes, but...
Yeah, it's for plot. Ugh, I can't say plot. There we go. And so, like, he tells them pretty last minute, and then they end up going because Charlotte's there, and Charlotte... Lewis goes there to, like, tell Charlotte, don't go in the full moon because you're going to lose your powers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, like, just lures him there because she knows that the girls will follow if Lewis comes.
Wait, why would the girls follow if Lewis comes?
It's because they were worried for Lewis because she was stuck. He was stuck alone with Charlotte.
Gone.
Yeah, so.
Why didn't they just tell Zane to go?
I don't know.
Because, like, they trust Zane at this point, right?
They rely on Lewis more than Zane. It's
yeah, I know,
sad.
But, like, if they... Okay, if Zane... Okay, if Lewis is in trouble and they know they can't go to the pool because they're going to lose their powers, they should have told Zane to go. And, like, come on, two guys compared to one girl who's Charlotte. This isn't, like, a sexist comment or anything. It's just physically they will be stronger.
Physically and, like, just averagely, we got to face
the
facts.
Yeah, and plus, if they do fall in the pool, they can swim.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with them. Will they become mermen?
They would become mermen. They do that in the sequel series.
Okay, I'm not even going to jump into that. But you see, worst case scenario, you become a merman.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to become a merman, next 60 years, you'll become a human again. It's fine. But one thing is, the girls, you're stupid. Girls, come on. I'm your age, and I can think of this.
Yeah, like, Charlotte was actually super close to getting all three of them in the water, but the girls were about to... Like, we're going to beat her because they had the added power of controlling the weather as well. Because Ricky had the lightning, Cleo has the wind, and Emma has the thunder. So together, they can just go psycho and create a massive storm on her.
That's crazy. I guess they're like Pokemon. Level up.
Yeah, so Cleo pretty much, like, uses the power of the wind to, like, hover her over the moon pool.
Yeah.
And that's how she lost her powers. And that is how they finished off the season.
That's pretty good. Can I just say, like,
That is a horrible way. Well, not horrible, but, you know, that whole situation could have totally been avoided if you just went with my way. Zane saves the day. He deserves better.
Yes, but, like, if it's a season finale, you want the main girls to be taking down the villains.
But, yeah, because it is a TV show. You got to do a few dumb things in order to be heroic. But if it was real life, like... But I think that is a perfect note to end this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for bringing in H2O with me, like, you know, talking about this today. That was really interesting to talk about. I really enjoyed listening about that.
Yeah, and thanks to the listeners, guys, and I hope you enjoyed learning more about H2O. We didn't mean to hate any of the writers. I love the show with all my heart, and if anyone else there loves it, I love you too.
All right, I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.